Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
The Olympic Women's Football Tournament officially kicked off Wednesday in Brazil. Sweden is playing South Africa in the opening match in Rio de Janeiro. The South African women are making their second Olympic appearance. In their debut Olympic match 4 years ago at the London Games, they lost to Sweden 4-1. The South Africans also lost to Canada 3-0 and played a scoreless draw with Japan and did not advance out of the group stage in England. Sweden, meanwhile, reached the quarterfinals at the 2012 Olympics before falling to France 2-1. In Wednesday's other Olympic women's matches, Brazil will host China, Canada will play Australia, Zimbabwe will meet Germany, France will face Colombia, and New Zealand takes on the United States as the American women begin their quest for a fourth consecutive Olympic gold medal. Meanwhile, athletes, officials, and fans from around the world continue to flow into Rio ahead of Friday's official opening ceremony at the Maracanã Stadium. VOA's Larissa Hoke tells us more in this Olympic report.
Rio's iconic Ipanema beach was crowded with visitors early this week. Denmark's royalty inaugurated the country's hospitality tent on Tuesday, while memorabilia collectors met outside the Olympic park gates to swap pins.
Well, I've been to 16 Olympic Games and I've been trading pins at 15 of them.
The U.S. beach volleyball players are excited about the prospect of playing at the Copacabana beach.
Yeah, I think it's awesome to be playing on a natural beach. It's how we practice every day. The atmosphere just changes a little bit being on a natural beach.
Among the competing teams from around the world, one is made up entirely of refugees. For the first time in the history of the Games, the 10-member team includes athletes from South Sudan, Syria, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Ethiopia. But before the grand opening, major international rights groups led by Amnesty International renewed their call for the International Olympic Committee to address a spike in police violence in Brazil.
In the past 3 months, between April and June, the increase in the number of people killed by the police in the city of Rio was of 100% when in comparison with the same period last year.
The committee again defended its decision to let some Russian athletes participate in the Games despite evidence of state-sponsored doping at the Sochi Olympics. Clean athletes will be allowed to participate in Rio under the Russian flag.
You cannot punish a human being for the failures of his or her government if he or she is not implicated.
But a former president of the World Anti-Doping Agency, which presented the evidence of doping, said justice could have been served differently.
Personally, I thought we could have got to the same protection of individual rights by allowing them to say, sure, if you're clean, you're welcome behind the Olympic flag, not the Russian flag. This is your government that organized it.
The Summer Games in Rio open Friday and run until August 21st. More than 10,500 athletes from 206 nations will participate. Zlatica Hope, VOA News.
As Larissa mentioned in her report, South America's first Olympics also will feature the first refugee Olympic team. Five of the refugees are from South Sudan. James Chengjek will compete in the men's 800 meters event. At a news conference in Rio, James said he hopes his participation in the Rio Games will send a positive message.
I think it is a good moment for all the refugees, not only people who are participating, because as we all know that we are representing the millions of refugees all over the world. So it is a chance, and it is also, this one, it will show that refugees also, they can do something.
At that same Rio news conference, refugee Olympic teammate Yetch Porbiel said he hopes he will be an inspiration for young athletes all over the world.
Whereby now we are living, whereby we have tear of sorrow, and now we are going to have tear of joy. Whereby this one, it will change our life, and it will be a good achievement in our life. And this one, it will transform our life from the past life that we passed. And now, we can call ourselves to be ambassador for others. Then after the game of Rio, this is not the end for everything. I hope it is a door, or it is an open way for other young, talented people.
Meanwhile, Syrian swimmer Yusra Mardini is also a member of the first refugee Olympic team. Yusra will compete in the women's 100 meters freestyle event, and she says it will be an exciting moment when she participates in Friday's opening ceremony.
I think I'll be honored, I'll be proud, I'll be happy. I'll have the pain in my stomach, because this is a great feeling. And yeah, of course I'm gonna think of everyone who supported me, the International Olympic Committee, my two coaches, my dad and Sven Spankrips, and my family, my friends, and absolutely my team, and all the refugees around the world, and all the teenagers, and everyone I am representing.
Yusra Mardini says as she and her teammates prepare to represent refugees from around the world, they formed a special bond.
Well, we are really happy together. All the team have a great friendship, and all of us, so we don't know the same language. We are not from the same countries, but the Olympic flag united us, all of us together. And yeah, now we are representing 60 million around the world. And yeah, we wanna do our best to show everyone that we can do everything we can for being good athletes and good people, not only in sport. And yeah, we are trying to give the best we can.
Syrian swimmer Yusra Mardini, a member of the first refugee Olympic team. And Yusra was speaking in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled USA Olympic hurdler Sydney McLaughlin. Sydney will celebrate her 17th birthday on August 7th. She's going to be the youngest American track and field athlete to compete in the Olympics since 1976. At last month's USA track and field trials in Eugene, Oregon, Sydney set a new world junior record in the women's 400 meters hurdles, clocking 54.15 seconds. Olympic hurdler Sydney McLaughlin, the subject of my latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post. Hey, speaking of birthdays, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday shout out to Voice of America intern Toddy Abeje, who has been a regular contributor to the show. Toddy is celebrating his 23rd birthday today. Hi, happy birthday, Toddy! Joining us once again from Rio is our friend Luis Piazza. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny, and to all at the Studio 22. Sonny, the Olympic torch has arrived in Rio. As we speak, the torch has been carried around the city by celebrities, ex-athletes, and local well-known people. after a little over 3 months traveling around this huge country. Then we have the first soccer match today. The Brazilian female team played China at the Stadium João Havelange at 1600 Brazil time. So the Olympics began instead of last minute, according to the Brazilian way. The games in Rio went against all the odds and started before the open ceremony. Things are really hectic here, Sonny. Hard to move around, to get hold of people. Delays, very difficult to make normal things. I would say Rio is like a pinball machine being played by several people at the same time. Problem is, it seems people are the ball, and it can be fun and not so much, but let's talk about good things. I spoke with an awesome person in Copacabana, to whom we will give the first Olympic gold medal, Tracy Lee. Here we go with some slices of 2 hours conversation. Tracy, Sony Side of Sports radio show of Voice of America decided to give an Olympic gold medal to enthused people in Rio, and you are the first lucky one. So please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hi, Sonny and Luis. Oh, wow. What a fantastic idea to give away a gold medal to someone who loves Brazil. My name is Tracy Lee. I'm from New York. Thanks for having me. What an honor to be receiving a gold medal for just being a normal human being. An honor.
You are not normal. You are the gold medal now.
That gives me quite some power.
So you said you are from New York. What do you do in New York? What are you doing here?
I'm actually a journalist in New York, and I came back to Brazil because of all the issues that were going on here.
What makes you so excited about Rio, and especially about the Olympics?
The streets feel different. I feel a lot more activity. There's a lot of gringos.
Is that right?
Yeah, it really feels like the streets are buzzing right now, and everyone is here together, and everyone's just is looking forward to joining together, and that spirit of that united feeling, you know, everyone loves that, and I can feel it in the streets, and all the new people that are arriving here, it's exciting.
Would you get this gold medal for yourself, or would you give it to someone else?
Oh, I'm not going to be that intense. I would like to share it. I would like to share it with the people here, because this is my third time here, and you know, the people here are always special to me. I keep coming back, and you know, I would love to share it with the people here. And
what is special about people here, the Cariocas or Brazilians in general?
Honestly, I think it's just a genuine spirit. You can walk anywhere and on any street, and someone will help you out with something. If you have an issue of getting lost, someone will take you literally by the hand and take you to that spot.
Right.
Just want to bump, bond, and you know, I've made some of my best friends just walking around getting lost.
Great. What sports do you like? What sports are you going to, you know, cheer for? Or?
Oh, I'm excited, you know, for swimming. I'm a big Michael Phelps fan.
USA. I'm Luis Piazet for the Sony Side of Sports historical live show in Rio de Janeiro. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Luis. And we'll have more Olympic news from Rio de Janeiro shortly. But first, let's take a break for these VOA programming announcements.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I'm
Hello and welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports. Yes, Van Morrison, a loyal listener of the Voice of America. I think Van the Man even listens to the Sunny Side of Sports on occasion. Welcome back to Studio 22 and all of our Facebook Live friends. I'm joined in the studio by none other than Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Say hi, Andrew.
Hi, everybody out there in Facebook Live. Thanks for not only listening, but also watching.
And we're going to pan that camera around right now and take a look at my friend in Rio de Janeiro, the dashing and dramatic Luis Piazzet, who we heard from earlier in the program. And I'm going to ask Luis down the road during the Olympics to tell us about that top hat that he's wearing in the photo. I think it has a literary meaning behind it. I'm not quite sure. I know Luis is a very literary guy. And I got to give a shout out for Luis because earlier in the show, he awarded the very first Sunny Side of Sports gold medal. We'll be handing out a few of those during the Olympics. Kind of an honorary gift, Andrew. No money attached, but we're going to try to hand those out to people that kind of have inspired Luis and others during the Olympics, maybe a volunteer or someone like that. I know the volunteers play huge roles during the Olympics.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we're beginning to see on social media is some of the, you know, volunteers getting in place. We're seeing the athletes getting in place. They're documenting from so many different angles. You know, we're seeing it from the athlete's perspective, but we're also seeing some of the behind the scenes, which is very cool.
Andrew, I'm guessing the Rio Olympics might be trending right now. Tell our VOA listeners about that.
They are indeed. You know, we've been talking a lot about you know, some of the issues that Rio has faced and is facing now. But I want to talk about some of the more positive things, because that's a lot of what social media is starting to transition to, because as the games actually kick off today with the women's soccer. So some just fun facts I've seen on social media that I thought everybody would be interested in, kind of the highs and lows of the Olympics, as we've been talking about the highs and lows. And I mean that in sense of height.
Okay.
And I'm talking about on Team USA, the tallest and shortest, or among the tallest and shortest athletes. The shortest is in the field of gymnastics. Shouldn't surprise anyone, I think, because gymnasts are usually pretty compact. But it's Simone Biles, who has captured so much social media attention in the days leading up to the Olympics. She has won, it seems, every competition around the world up to the Olympics, and now she's the favorite to win gold in the Olympic gymnastics competition. So she is the shortest. She's at 4'8" tall.
Okay.
So quite short. And then the tallest, you have two USA basketball players, DeMarcus Cousins and DeAndre Jordan, who both stand at 6'11" tall. So quite a bit, you know, over 2 feet of distance between them. Simone Biles, you know, making light of her diminutive stature, posted a picture to her Twitter account of an athlete she ran into, I think in one of the training facilities or one of the medical facilities. And it's David Lee, who plays volleyball. Now, David Lee is 6'8" tall. Simone Biles is 4'8" tall, so exactly 2 feet of difference between them. And they're standing back to back, and she comes up to about his elbow. So there's, you know, and she says, size difference in Olympians doesn't matter depending on what sport you do, 6'8" and 4'8". So some having some fun with the other athletes. But we're seeing those little moments happen in the Olympic Village as the athletes are starting to arrive and get ready to compete.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, check out this Olympic photo, and I think my videographer this evening, Bill Workinger, is going to show it. It shows the U.S. American Olympic swim team all huddled up, and this guy in the blue and white cap where I'm pointing. Anybody, maybe some of our Facebook friends can guess who that is. Well, it's Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian in history. And Phelps also has some unique stuff going on in Rio, Andrew.
Yeah, he's a trending topic today because Michael Phelps has been announced as the flag bearer in the opening ceremonies for the United States. Now, this is his fifth Olympics. He's never been the flag bearer before, and usually it's someone that isn't as well known maybe as an athlete. It's more of a niche athlete in their own, you know, particular sport. In the past, they've had in the Winter Olympics some combined Nordic athletes. They've had some fencing athletes who have held the flag. But Michael Phelps in his fifth Olympics finally gets the chance. His Team USA teammates have selected him. So a lot of excitement and praise for Michael Phelps from folks on social media. They're saying what a great moment it's going to be to have him walk into that stadium in Rio and have him carrying the red, white, and blue. It's going to be a really moving moment and really a great Olympic moment that a lot of people are looking forward to.
And Andrew, you talk about words of praise for Michael Phelps, the superstar Olympian for the United States. Checking out my Facebook page right now. And Henrico File, who says he studied at the University of Nigeria in Nsukka, commenting on Michael Phelps, he says, very good for him. Michael Phelps, the flag bearer for the 2016 U.S. Olympic team. So congratulations to Michael Phelps, and thanks for your comments, Henrico. Andrew, what else is trending out there?
Well, as we talk about these social media moments from, you know, Simone Biles showing how short she is to when we eventually see Michael Phelps walk into the stadium with the red, white, and blue, there's a way that we're going to be seeing some of those moments, a unique way, and it's the red, white, and hashtag blue room. Now, this is a partnership between the U.S. Olympic Committee and Twitter at USA House, which is kind of the home base for all of the Team USA in Rio, and they're going to be putting up Twitter videos, vines, tweets, all this content on social media from this kind of branded blue room where athletes can go and kind of hang out. So we're going to get kind of unprecedented access. It kind of reminds me of like reality shows when you like Big Brother, when they have the room where you can go and kind of the confessional room or whatever and spill the dirt on everybody. But this will be public. It'll go out on the U.S. Olympic Committee's Twitter account and athletes' Twitter accounts. But it's a new partnership and an exciting one that athletes can kind of maybe sit down at the end of the long day and say, well, this has been a crazy experience. I'm exhausted, but I'm thrilled to be here, and give us kind of an inside scoop. When I spoke with Brianna Scurry last week, that was something that she mentioned was a really great advancement in the 20 years since she first participated in the Olympics, was that social media gives everybody an inside scoop at what the athletes are doing and gives everybody a behind-the-scenes look at things from check-in to getting to the hotel or the Olympic Village to warming up for the competition, not just the one race or match that you see on TV.
And speaking of special looks, Andrew, let's take a look now with some help from my videographer of our special guest on Tuesday's show, Ken Minardis, who is the vice president of sports imagery and services for Getty Images. Getty, the official photographer of the International Olympic Committee, Bill did a really nice interview with Ken during Tuesday's show. So there we see a nice photo of Ken, courtesy of Getty Images. And I guess a lot of sponsors are really going to be waving the flag, so to speak, Andrew, during the Olympics.
Oh yeah, it's the partnerships with social media. You're going to see a lot of those sponsors and the branding. In addition to the partnership between Twitter and the U.S. Olympic Committee, you have Facebook that's going to allow people to have Rio 2016 branded content on their Facebook profile pictures, and actually a cool thing where you can put a country flag mask over your face in your profile picture, so you can you don't have to paint your face. You can just have it as an overlay. So a very cool feature that they have on Facebook that you'll see unveiled in the coming days.
Well, Andrew, you don't need a mask. Thank you.
I might, you know, I'll still wear my red, white, and blue anyway for Team USA.
Thanks, Andrew. The VOA social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski. And that wraps up the August 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Kwame Ofori also producing. Bill Werkinger also doing the video work this evening. VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The government of Ethiopia has made tremendous progress in fighting the HIV epidemic in Ethiopia. In 2015, Ethiopia adopted what is known as the UNAIDS 90-90-90 targets. It is one in which 90% of all people living with HIV will know their HIV status. 90% of all people living with HIV will receive antiretroviral treatment, and 90% of all people receiving this treatment will have viral suppression. These ambitious targets have the potential to end the AIDS epidemic by 2030. With the goal of achieving the 90-90-90 targets, the Federal Ministry of Health, or MOH, plans to test 13.9 million people over the next year. With full support of the development partners, the MOH has launched a catch-up campaign for HIV testing on Tuesday, July 26th, and will test approximately 6 million people over the next 3 months. The catch-up campaign is a significant intervention to reach people who are living with HIV in Ethiopia but don't know it, and to provide them with life-saving treatment. The U.S. government, UNAIDS, and the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria are working closely with the Federal Ministry of Health to provide technical support to ensure the successful implementation of the catch-up campaign. The MOH has also endorsed Test and Start, where people living with HIV are given the opportunity to immediately initiate antiretroviral treatment, regardless of what stage of the disease they are in when diagnosed. Currently, all children and adolescents under 15 years old, pregnant women, couples where one partner is HIV positive, TB, HIV co-infected patients, and commercial sex workers are eligible for immediate treatment under Test and Start, while the government of Ethiopia works towards rolling out a strategy to all clients who test positive. The U.S. government, also endorsing Test and Start, is focusing its efforts to reach the most affected populations where they live, and has therefore selected 20 high-priority towns to implement intensive program interventions to achieve optimal saturation. With targeted testing and quality test kits, the catch-up campaign and Test and Start initiatives will ensure more HIV-positive patients have timely access to life-saving HIV treatment and put Ethiopia on a firm path to its 90-90-90 goals. The United States is proud to work with Ethiopia and its international partners to protect the people of Ethiopia from the deadly threat of HIV/AIDS.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. The political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
What's up, Africa? It's Jackson Vunganyi.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Cape Town.
Can I be upfront with you? That's exactly what Nadia and I plan to do every Wednesday at 1730 UTC. Upfront looks at issues that affect you.
Since the world is moving at a faster rate, they need to have a major computer.
Interesting news.
Canadian man was sentenced for drunk driving after being pulled over in his mother's motorized wheelchair. 35-year-old man was fined and placed on probation.
And of course, music. No clouds in my stones. Entertainment, celebrities, you name it, we'll talk about it.
And of course, we love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts and comments. Our email address is upfront@voanews.com.
So don't forget to check us out every Wednesday at 1730 UTC on The Voice of America.